So one of the key things, I think, out of our kind of like our first whole go-around was truly understanding that you are, in fact, part of the priesthood of all believers, that you, in fact, every single person that's in Christ Jesus has the Spirit of God alive, living inside of them, growing, manifesting in them. There's a new experience that's coming with your walk in Christ, even as you're going through that process. So, you know, when you each took some time, you took sessions, and what you did is kind of like testing your legs a little bit. So, like, you know, you have a kid that's, you know, a couple years old, and then they start crawling, and then that's like, okay, it's like, you know, and so it's just taking those steps and then realizing, wait a second, your legs really do work. You know, I mean, one of the biggest crimes of organized religion is that it keeps people perpetually in a state of infancy and dependency, and never allows them to deliberately keeps you from ever, by design, from ever truly stepping into who God has made you to be. The very design, the very structure, the very nature of it is set up to keep you from ever truly knowing God for yourself, and always dependent on a person. And you go through your whole life like that, trying to be a good Christian, a good Muslim, a good Buddhist, a good whatever. And you never connect up truly with the one that made you. And you never truly are in the place where you never come to the spot of really being who you were made to be. So when you've kind of took that step, all right, of course, a bit scary, you know, but see, it's scary in the sense that if it's you doing it, it would be. Because if any of this stuff, walking in Christ, if it was you in and of yourself trying to do something, you would be stuck. But when you realize, no, it's Christ in you that does that, He's the one that speaks through you. So even now, even like as I'm speaking right now, even when I pray, I deliberately yield my will, my free will, and who I am to the Spirit of God so that He has free reign, free course to speak through. So what's speaking is not me, but the preacher that's on the inside, the Spirit of God on the inside. So even in the Lord's Prayer, when we were taught to pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, we're taught to pray, to yield our will to the will of the Father, to deliberately get out of the way and let Him drive the car. Okay, so you all kind of tested your legs a little bit and found out, wait a second, they work. And you know, that's the thing too, is that you build, every time you take a step of faith, if you just take one step after another, eventually you're walking in faith. That's what the walk is, just one step after another. And you build strength in your legs every time you take a step. You build, so it's not to say, okay, I did that once, check, got that off my list. But to really, to trust the way that God works with you, and just to begin to go with that process, because what happens is you build a familiarity with the voice of God. You build a you have an ease over time. The unfamiliar doesn't scare you anymore. Because you've learned how He speaks to you. You've learned how He communicates, how He reveals things, how He leads and directs your life. So out of that place of direction, you then the steps, doesn't matter what it is, how big it is, how traumatic it might seem in the natural, you've already come through some things with Him. You say, okay, you know, this is how He showed me something before, this is how He spoke to me, this is how He directed before, this is consistent with Him, I can go with this because it really is Him. Okay. So now, what is it that works so hard to keep you from doing that? To keep you from progressing in spirit? Why is there, here's a kind of a question to ask yourself, why is there such a cosmic effort to keep you from ever walking life out with God? Why is there such a cosmic, you know, just so many things, from work, from distractions, from relationships, from religious systems that are around you, from, you just start going down this list of things that are all there that seek to keep you from ever stepping into a position of spirit, stepping into the walk with Christ. Why is it that there's so much emphasis put on you like that, to keep you from doing that? Do you ever wonder about that? See, most people just embrace it, like what it is that comes to them. So it's like, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to be the best accountant I can be. I'm going to be the best, you know, mom I can be. I'm going to be, and they get into all this good stuff, maybe even seemingly, and they wrap their lives up in it. And 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, their lives are coming to a close. They go through midlife crisis because, oh shoot, is this all life was supposed to be about? And they buy a car and get a new girlfriend, and it's like, but they go through all this stuff. And then they'll hit this, and then, you know, there's those points of remorse along the way when, you know, a friend dies, or somebody gets, you know, people are talking here about people who have been sick recently around, and so there's these points of realization that, whoa, wait a second, this isn't really all that there is in life. This isn't really all that life isn't all what I know and I experience. But then after that wears off, after a week passes, 2 weeks, they're back into the same thing. Yeah, so why is it though that there's such a deliberate effort to keep you from really tapping into the kingdom of God that's within you? Jesus said the kingdom is within you. So why is there such a deliberate attempt to keep you from shifting into that dimension? Okay. Maybe make that a question you think about between now and next week. I'm not going to answer that one for you right away. I want you to ponder it for a while. But tonight, I did want to spend some time and looking at... excuse me. expanding it out a little bit more. And... okay, 1 John chapter 2. Expanding out now are a little bit more, but I want to start looking at kind of a bigger picture. And see, sometimes it's like we're born into this thing, but we really don't know what's going on when we get here. I mean, so like, okay, what is this traffic about? What is this, you know, all this oppression about? What is all, I mean, you're just born into a context. And so you spend some time trying to get acclimated to even your environment and what is your existence here about. Okay. But God is very, very gracious to us in that He gives us His Word. He gives us His Spirit. He gives us enough so that if you really want to know and you really want to come out of the illusion, here's what you need to know. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Okay. Pretty strong statement to the early church, and really trying to help the early church, you know, and the church that we're part of, the true church, understand that there's something going on. There's something competing for your affections. There's something competing for your attention. There's something competing for your soul. And it's referred to here as the world. Now, what is this world? When God says, because also scriptures say, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life," John 3:16. So why is it that, no, so which world is He talking about? What's He talking about here?
Okay.
Yeah?
I mean, the world we live in, just, you know, the temptations of the world.
Yeah.
Materialism and lust and, I mean, just things that we come across.
Yeah.
Day to day. I don't know, that's how I would do it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Any more? You want to add to that? Yes, for sure, those are manifestations.
I mean, basic sense, I would think. It's just stuff that makes it difficult for us to focus on God every day.
Because when there's the world, as far as like the planet that God made, the creation that God made, those are beautiful things. You can appreciate that. You can love that aspect of God's creation and His handiwork. The world, it clarifies it a little bit more, where it says, the world, neither things that are in the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So there's a system that is in place, that has been established, that began with the fall, that started all the way, you go all the way back to the garden, began with the fall of man and woman, and all that took place in the garden. We went through all this back, but that was the beginning of, in a spiritual sense, this tree of death that was planted, this world system that grew, is continuing to also grow, continuing to be established, continuing to expand as well on a spiritual level. Now, that is what we face when we come here. So now it's a spiritual reality. Now, as we keep going, one thing that's happening is the stuff that we're doing is building on things that we've already gone through. So now, remember when we did that, we did a set on the spiritual kingdom, you know, and how we talked about and established that the spiritual reality is truth,
is
the real reality. And the natural reality, the reality that you can see, that you can touch, that you can feel, that you sense, is actually an illusionary reality. It's not real. And everybody is passing through this one, but this is really a dream state as such. So, but in this state, what you're facing is, and what you encounter is, a system that's in place that is empowered by a spiritual reality pushing it as well. Now, it manifests itself in different ways, but it's a spiritual system, ultimately, that's at enmity with God. Now, it's referred to here as the world, in that, let's go here. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. I want to show you another example of it. When Jesus, Luke chapter 4 and verse 5 through 8, says, "But the devil taking him," this is Jesus being tempted in the desert, "but the devil taking him unto a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, it shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So, okay, Jesus here has a very real encounter with the prince of this world, the one that is God is allowing to run this, that aspect of the illusion, and Jesus has a very real offer presented to him, which is, you know, basically the whole thing. You get the whole ball of yarn, you get the whole ball of wax, you get the whole thing is there, So the kingdoms of this world, the power thereof, the glory of it, the splendor of it, all of that stuff, you know, in exchange for what? What was he asking for? What was Lucifer, what was the devil asking Jesus for in exchange for what? Yeah, and in that process of worship, what happens? It's allegiance. It's his soul. It's his commitment. It's his heart. It's asking for. It's and ultimately what Lucifer was offering here was. I mean, he was trying to trade up, basically, in that. He's trying to trade that which was temporal for that which is eternal. He's trying to trade, alright, because the world and the kingdoms of this world, all that's in the world, we already read in the first set of verses, is passing away. So the whole system that he has, he knows it too. It's wearing down based on entropy. It's temporary, and everything in it is even wearing down. And the way that they keep it going is by the souls of men. So when men give their souls over to it, when they give their allegiance over to it, it keeps the fire stoked, if you would. You know, it keeps that, it feeds that tree, it expands that, the illusionary reality. But, so here's the Son of God, here's the big one. And so it's like, okay, you know, you can have the whole thing. But trade up. Give me that which is eternal, and I'll give you all that is temporal, and you can have it right now. And now Jesus, I mean, you know, it was a temptation though too. Here's the, you can have, you know, no cross. You know, no pain, no suffering, no struggle, immediate gratification. You can have whatever it is that you want, but do it your way. You know,
have it. It seems like Jesus is not tempted, but obviously.
Well, it was a temptation, you know, because he could have avoided the cross. I mean, he would have forfeited his soul. See, and also, Jesus said too that I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He's also said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So if this was life, if that was the path of life, he would have taken it. He would have taken that offer. If that was the path of life, he would have taken that offer, and we would all be following on that same path. So we all too would be taking that offer and going for success in the world and going for allegiance in the world and going for the most gusto and the biggest spot and the, you know, to be the rulers and kings and authorities in the world. Because if Jesus did it and he's the path of life, we would do it also. But he didn't. And what you see throughout scriptures is most of the time people that are in the positions of authority in the world are very wicked, evil people. Most of the time. Very, very rarely you see something like a Joseph or a Daniel or somebody where God... because the wheat and the tares grow together. So occasionally what God will do, just to prove a point, is he'll toss in one of his own and protect them. And I mean, look at all that happened to Joseph to get there. Look at all that happened to Daniel to be in that place. I mean, how many times they tried to kill the guy? How many times? And God protected him and watched over him, sustained him, and kept knocking off all of these guys that kept trying to hurt him. But it's very, very rare that... And with these guys, too, they didn't need it. You know, that system wouldn't corrupt them. You know, that... So in their heart, they could handle that because they were designed and made a certain way, even by God, to be able to handle those positions. But they never chased that. They never were seeking that. They were never looking for that. Even when Daniel was being offered all that stuff by the king that saw the handwriting on the wall, and the guy said, "Oh, you know, I'll put a gold chain on your neck, make you third highest ruler in the kingdom," and all that. He's like, "Yeah, just keep your gifts. You know, I don't want them, but I will tell you what God said." He's like, "Oh, by the way, you're going to die tonight." So it's like, but the vast majority of what you see is in the world, you see the people that are in those positions are people that have given their souls over to, they bowed their knee basically to Satan, and in exchange for their soul and their allegiance and their heart, they get to be something in the world. they get to run around the track and wave the flag, you know, and or whatever. They get to be something among themselves. Now, at the cost, it costs them something, though. It costs them their who they really are. Okay. You see the world manifest in different ways. So there is an evil religious system. There is an evil economic system. There is an evil political system. You see subsets of this in social. You see subsets of this in education. You see subsets of this in entertainment. So you start going around it, and then as you start looking around, you're like, whoa, wait a second. You're surrounded. You know, you are literally, if you when the first realization, I think, is that, whoa, wait a second, it's all bad. This thing is rotten to the core, and I'm stuck in the middle. And you know, you're surrounded by hyenas, and you're wondering, like, you know, how you even survived this long, and like, and God opens your eyes to that. Okay. Tracking together so far? Okay. Alright. Now, where is God taking us? Because see, Jesus is a path. And I want to, I guess what would be cool to do with this, I don't know if this would do this very long series, but is to couple, we need an understanding of what the world is. Because you are surrounded by it. And when God saves you, when Jesus saves you, one of the key things he saves you from is the world. So he saves you out of that system, that thing that is designed to harvest your soul, designed to prey upon your life, designed to suck you dry, and then to use you up for all of your energies, all of your labors, every talent, every gift that God's put in you, designed to extract that out of you, and like a battery, and then once it's done with you, just to throw you to the side. You need to know what's going on. So, but not to just understand that, but then also understand what is it that the Father has done in Christ for you. So you understand, okay, why you're still here. Because it's not just, you're not just here just to suffer and go through the agony of this life. You know, there is a purpose behind all of this stuff. So I want to try to balance those two. So have an understanding of what's going on, but then also what is it that the Father's doing with us. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So he is a way, and in this way, he's taking you through a progression. He's taking you through a process. He's taking you through different stages of spirit. So the kingdom is within, so you're going deeper and deeper within, but also as you're going deeper within, you're also going without in connection with who you really are. Okay. Let's look at this. Alright. Let me see if I can, I'll try to draw. Let's see if this works. Okay. First of all, let's go back to, okay. Alright. This is our nice little wonderful planet. Right? So let's just say that's our Earth. First, now when you start talking about first heavens and things like that, you look up into the sky, you start seeing there's that, you know, okay, oh, here's the stars and here's all this. But still in that reality of what you know, right? What you know, what you see, what you, so the limitations of, so you shoot a satellite up into the sky, you try to go to the moon, whatever, you're still dealing in that first heavens. Okay. Past that, there's a spiritual dimension, right? Because we've already talked about how, you know, there's a world of spirit that's behind everything that's going on. So you will be, you know, one day you're just driving and all of a sudden it's just like, wham, you're depressed, or, you know, or it's like, or you just feel like just this oppression, or this, you know, there's somebody will come up to you and they'll just start manifesting, you know, they'll start frothing at the mouth or whatever. It's like, it's so there's other things going on behind the scenes that are past the dimension, the natural dimension. So so think of it like this. Okay. So kind of, all right, you have your first heavens. All right. Now you have your second. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. Let me show you this. Ephesians chapter, I'm going to change this around a little bit. Ephesians chapter 6 says, verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Okay, let's just focus on this verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." So in the first heavens, the first dimension here, this place right here, you are, when you deal with issues, so, all right, political corruption, or the, you know, child trafficking, or just horrible things that are going on, all this, and people focus, you know, they hate Mahinda, or they hate President Bush, or they're really mad at Putin, or they're really, you know, this political leader, or this religious leader, or can you believe that, you know, the Evangelical Alliance has this guy who's, you know, running around doing all this crazy stuff. So it's like, so, and there, but now we start saying, okay, Scripture starts saying, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So what you have is you have a spiritual dynamic, right? You have a spiritual dynamic that is behind the world system. You have a spiritual dynamic that is influencing all of the stuff that's going on here. So just like, you know, we talked about how your body is the car and you are driving, you know, and when you come to Christ and Christ comes in, you literally move to the passenger seat and you let Him drive the car. The same thing with the world. What happens is, what they do is they seek to scalp the souls of people to get them out, to move them aside, and then for spiritual forces to take over and to use those people. And they use them because that's their access point to this reality. So even so, they're all disembodied, they're running around, flying around, but they can't, they need a person, they need a host, they need something to work through in this. Now, when they're working together, what happens is you have people that, though they're not, they're just doing what it is that they're impressed to do, what they're working towards, but the spiritual reality behind it is actually building something. It's building like this giant, my buddy in New Mexico calls it the hive mind. Like this, like a big beehive. They're like building this hive together. They're all working to build this system, but they don't necessarily know their part that they're playing, but they're doing their part, but together it's forming this whole thing. So you see unification in global finance. You see telecommunications going a certain way. You see the way that politics is happening. You see all that stuff happening. And so somebody will be doing their little job, you know, at the UN, or they'll be doing their little job in their banking company or whatever. But all of that together is contributing to forming this system. Okay? All right. And now behind it, there's a spiritual reality that's going on. In this place, those spiritual powers are locked in. What you have here is, the way I think about it, it's like a big fish tank. And we're stuck inside, on the natural level. Because outside of here, you have the third heavens. Now, Paul wrote about that where he said that he had been taken up, you know, by the Spirit of God and been able to see things that he couldn't express. And so he was taken past this dimension. He was taken past this point. And so you're seated in heavenly places, right? That's who you really are. So the real you is actually outside of this. The real you is actually with the Father past that reality. Now, you have a body that's here in this world, of course, because that's how you get around, but the real you is in that reality in spirit. So what happens with the world is the world works very, very hard to keep you from ever connecting up with who you really are. Because if you connect up with who you really are, you're outside of the fish tank. You're outside of the piranha thing. You're outside. You're beyond their reach. And then if you're beyond their reach, then what happens is now they but yet you still have a body that's here in the earth, you can do tremendous damage to their system because you're connected with your true self, and yet and now but they can't go past that point because there's that point of their limitation.
Do you think that people have spiritual gifts are somewhere out of that
place? Of course. There's a friend of mine who was doing an interview with a guy who's doing deliverance ministry on these remote viewers, these guys that they use them for government, like military operations, where basically they're able to leave their bodies, and they do it for. I mean, so it's, no, because like your soul is hooked into your flesh. So like you have your spirit, right? And when you die, what happens is your spirit is separate from your body. So the body is not you. That's why too, when people die and you see their bodies, their remains, it's like that doesn't look at all like the person that I know, because the body is just that, the shell. But what they do is these guys, they're able to. It's some people have maybe even some talents or skills in that area, but being able to detach their spirits from, it's called like astral projection, but then. And then they go and they're able to like see what's going on in other places, and it's kind of like,
sorry, you're losing me a bit. That's like,
okay,
watching yourself in Star Trek.
But then they yeah, yeah.
And somebody's gone. Again, out of body.
Yeah, astral projection is another. What else do they call it here in Asia? But
that's what I hear.
But astral projection. It's the same thing.
Yes.
Or remote viewing, or but it's so it's called by different things, but it's the same.
The US government have people who do that?
Well, military wise, yeah. No, so this guy was doing deliverance ministry with some of these guys. Well, no, like in World War II, Hitler was getting these Tibetan monks for to do like psychotronic warfare on like so they were like recruiting these guys. So I mean, there's, because again, if it's the reality is spirit, if the reality is spirit, and what you have, if everything in the natural realm is just,
is it done in a Christian sense?
No. This is like demonic stuff, because there's demonic powers that are going on as well.
In Buddhism, that they talk about it.
Yeah.
Meditation, elevation.
Elevation. Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't know anyone actually does it.
Yeah. No, okay. Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. So with Buddhism, the goal being this detachment from self and to go to these different levels of enlightenment, right? Okay, now with that, what happens in Buddhism and stuff is they do have spiritual experiences, but they run into that. They can't get past that point. So what happened, but in that place, there's spiritual deception. So they will encounter angels, and they will encounter powers, and they'll have all of these experiences that will take place there, but there'll always be this barrier that they can't get past, that they're always trying to, and that's why they're always trying to attain these other levels of enlightenment, because they can't.
What about the Christian and about the Buddhist? Like, let's say, dive or something.
Near-death experiences.
Yeah.
People have that stuff all the time. You can have experiences where you are...
Go to heaven and...
So that's
that would be like,
well,
like some people the Lord has shown like certain people like going to hell and maybe like they have no place on earth just to save them or something like that.
Well, see, with you can have you can have all kinds of spiritual experiences with that. The key is to be in possession of your soul whenever it is that you leave your body. So, because if not, because the world is again harvesting souls. The world system is designed to take souls, and so it's so the key is you have to be in possession of your soul.
What you're saying is, if otherwise your soul leaves, something else could take your
influence. So basically, capture your soul. The body is of no use.
Yeah, the soul is what has value. See, remember here. I'll show you this. Go to Mark chapter 8.
No,
yeah, keep going.
Because of only God can create a soul or whatever, and Satan can't or something like that. So the Satan tries to capture the soul.
Here, I'll show you.
But then after you become a Christian, does the devil have any authority over you?
Well, okay. First of all, what is becoming a Christian? Is people need to start asking these questions too. What is this?
We are all children of God.
But then when you make that commitment,
you got to live by it.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying this doesn't make a difference.
The Lord comes in the midst.
Here, look at this. We'll address these all. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he called the disciples unto him, with his disciples, he said unto them, whomever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and for the gospel, the same shall save it. Verse 35. Mark chapter.
Not 36.
For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Okay. So, for whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and in my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Okay. So the value of a soul, of one human soul, is worth more than the entire world. Because, again, it's eternal. So now, most people don't realize the value of what is inside of them because they've been told that it's, you've been brainwashed into this. So there's a huge battle that's on for your mind to get you to not really realize what you have, and for your free will to get you to give your allegiance over to the world and the world system so that it can swap you out, basically. Now,
doesn't this kind of talk about salvation as well? Because it says, deny himself, take up his cross and follow me.
Yeah. Okay, so where are you going if you are taking up your cross? Where does that lead you? Where was Jesus going when he took up his cross? He went to be crucified. Jesus, where he went when he took up the cross, was he went to die. And if you are following Christ, the first place that he takes you with that experience with him on that path is to your own death, where you would literally, in every sense except for stop breathing, you would die to this world. And it's an empowering by the Spirit of God to go through that process. Now, you set your free will to do that, but you literally die to the world. So you're dead to the world and alive in Christ. And now that is the only way that somebody, that is what salvation is. So what you've been lied to when people have told you, oh, okay, come here, just say this prayer and everything's cool. Because if you've never died, Jesus, because this is Jesus' words. He said that for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. That's how you're saved. That's how salvation comes, is when somebody takes up their cross and follows him, they go to their own death. That is the point. Because what happens with that death is that when it's a consummation in spirit with you and the Spirit of God, you're no longer separate. You become one in Christ in the death, on that he died on the cross. And the new birth that takes place of the consummation between your spirit and the spirit of God, that is that you must become like a child to enter the kingdom of God. The child that's born from that consummation between is that is who you now are. And that's what grows, and that's the legs that you're testing, you know, when you took some sessions and practicing and stuff like that. But that is where you're going. Now, you have to allow the Spirit of God to take you through that process, and also realize that everything in the world is designed to keep you from doing that. So everything that's in the world that's surrounding you is working overtime to keep you from ever going that way. So what happens, for example, the devil is the one who robs, steals, kills, and destroys, right? The whole system that he has. And what is it that how is it that he was going to rob, steal, kill, and destroy Jesus? Well, he offered him the whole thing on a silver platter. Isn't that a paradox? Doesn't that seem like a contradiction? He's the one that robs, steals, kills, and destroys, and he says, here, I'll give you the whole thing. And when Jesus says, to the disciples, he says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to go die, and Peter stands up in front of him and is like, Lord, say this will never be. And he says, get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. So, how is it that he's going to kill him and to destroy him? He tells him to save his life. So, his way of destroying you is to get you to try to save your life in this world. To get you to try to embrace something, to get you to try to hold on to something in this world. And by that process of getting you to hold on to it, you actually die. And your soul is harvested into that system. Then your energies, your labors, who you are, get pulled into that.
What do you mean hold on to something?
Well, and see, the world, again, it has different... It manifests itself in so many different ways. And it will be whatever you need it to be to get your allegiance in your heart. Anything else except you walking out life with the Father and pursuit of truth in Christ Jesus. Anything else beside that. It'll be good social causes, it'll be religious service, it'll be a career, it'll be advancement, it'll be your dream boat and guy or girl or whatever it needs to be. Anything that it needs to be so that you commit your heart, your allegiance, your loyalty to that. And to stay there. So, here's what you're born into again. Oh, here, okay, wait. Before I do that, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So Jesus gave himself so that we could be delivered from the world, so that we could be set free from it. See, when you're born hooked into the world. You're born locked in, because you're born in sinful flesh. You're born cut off. You're born hooked into it, and so
I think that's for a reason.
Even this whole thing. Okay, why would we experience all of this why would we go through all of this if God foreknew us and all of that? See, part of this whole thing is it's like a big love story as well, in that we would experience for a time separation from him. We would experience for a time what it is to be away from the Father, and then know the joy again of being restored to Him. So even Jesus experienced that. Even Jesus, when He was on the cross, that the Father had to turn away from Him because He became sin. So even Jesus Himself felt the experience of being cut off from who He truly was. And so we experience that as well in our walk. But the walk in Christ is again a restoration and a path that leads us back to connecting up with who we truly are, and back to this relationship with Him. So it's like this love story that happens, this cosmic love story that's being acted out, where we're going through this whole thing. So there is definitely a reason for it. But in the middle of it, we have this landmines that we're kind of navigating, and all of this is being led by the Spirit of God. So, with true salvation, what happens is you get set free. You know, you get set free from the world and the world's hold on you. So, now what happens, say, with something like sin, what it does is it binds you into a base reality. So it binds you into a sensory limited reality where it's like, you know, you're stuck. You got these shackles on your feet that are just locking you in. So it's like you, by the willful choice that's there, you just get limited. You have a hard time moving into dimensions of spirit. So what happens though is with the Spirit of God is He sets you free, and you walk that out, and His desires start flowing into yours, and out of that place of His desires flowing into yours, He replaces that stuff. So it's not just this, you know, okay, I'm gonna quit this because it's bad for me. But no, He actually melts that stuff away because His love in you is stronger than that other thing. So whatever it may be, it's because your love for Him is stronger, and He's done that in you, that stuff actually melts off of you. So it's like two magnets, you know, but one is much stronger. So the world definitely has pull, and it definitely will pull you in a certain direction, and without the Spirit of God, you're doomed. You have no chance at all. You will go right into it. But the power of God, and the power of God in you, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That power that's within you, and that power that draws you, it is stronger than that other one, and so it pulls you the other way. So we're kind of catching on a lot of different things, because I think this is a bit of an overview. Different ways that the world manifests. A religious one, 1 Timothy 3, verse 5. Economic, Matthew 26, 24. Revelations 17 for political. So you see throughout scriptures how there's different ways that scripture talks about the world and how it manifests. But it's still the same thing. And there's spiritual forces that are behind it that are working for the destruction of man, because man is created in God's image, because they've been cast down, they have no more access to Him. This is their way of trying to get back at God, is to get at you. So it's their hatred of God for receiving in themselves what they the justice for their own crimes, that this is their way of trying to get back at Him while they're locked into this tank, is to go after the only thing that resembles Him, which is you. So you are the target of the world. But it's also incredibly frustrating for them when you actually bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is born in your life, and you, despite all of the attacks, all of those things, that it's a cosmic rebellion that takes place in you against that system, where His life would shine in yours, and in the midst of all that, they try. So okay, any questions up until, does this make sense though?
Yeah.
So this, you see this that's going on around you. So with what you see, you know, like I think back to a comment that Andrew made last week, you know, how like he was talking about, you know, he goes to, as he's going to work, and you know, he like will listen to some music and be praising God on the way that he gets there, and he gets there and he's just feeling so good and upbeat and all of that, and then you know, yeah, one hour goes into it too, and then pretty soon he's just like, whoa, okay, you know, just,
you're just caught up in this whole race,
caught up in the whole thing again. And so you start to say, wait a second, okay, what is really going on here? What is this? Okay, why is it that whole thing is there to try to keep you from that? You know, so because you're surrounded by it, and unless you realize the game that's on, it will affect you. You know, you won't. You know, it'll continue to bombard you, and you'll be like wondering what's going on, but not really realizing, okay, that this is really the game that's on for your mind, for your heart, for your soul. So, see, when we're born here, and when we spend some time living in the world, you know, first of all, you have flesh. You have the flesh that you're born into, that has desires and memories and, you know, all of this stuff that needs to be, that is not going to get born again. The flesh doesn't get born again. That's why you leave it when you go. No flesh will glory in the presence of God. Everybody gets a new body, so that are in Christ. So it's like, so, but you are in the flesh right now. So realize, okay, that's one thing that you have to deal with and contend with. Then you have spiritual forces that are coming against you, that are designed like that. You have a world system that's set up along those lines as well. And your mind has been programmed a certain way that you have to be set free from that thinking, because you've been taught to think like a worlder. So you've been taught everything around you, everything that people have ever told you, the vast majority of it has been to help you to succeed in the world. So here's what you need to do to succeed in the world. Here's how you need to present yourself to succeed in the world. Here's how you become something in the world. And then it's like, oh, wait a second, okay. And then so now when you come into Christ and the Spirit of God is alive in you, now it's like, whoa, wait a second, okay. I don't need to be like that. You know, I don't need to go that way. Or so, for example, Matthew 6, where Jesus said, you know, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. Because he said this, because he's like, look, if you seek first the kingdom, where's the kingdom? The kingdom's within. You seek first that progression, you seek first that process in spirit, and he says, I'm going to take care of you. I'll take care of the natural stuff. I'll take care of the needs. And he says, but the world and the pagans, they chase after that. They're still stuck in that base reality, and they've been taught that way. And so for us, we have to make that deliberate shift to be able to have the mind of Christ. And that's again the renewing of our mind that comes by the Spirit of God. So, and that's a work of the Spirit. That's what happens when you read the Word and you let the Word wash over you, and it changes your mind, changes your thoughts, changes, you see. So, but it's a path that we're on. And so with the path that we're on, every time with the path that we're on, that path will take you through those things. So it's like the sooner you get started, you know, the better. Now, so that's why, like, sometimes I remember I was in college, and you know, I had one friend, and he was just like, and he like understood, you know, about God, and he was just like, you know, but he's like, you know what I want to do? He's like, I want to, you know, want to kind of do my own thing now, and then, you know, when I'm get married and have some kids, and probably says, probably when I'm about my mid 40s, he's like, you know, then I'll, you know, get serious about God. No, I mean, and people think like that. Actually, there's people that think like where they say, you know, their thing is, okay, I want to just live it up and do this riotous life. And then right before I die, when I'm on my deathbed, I want to, you know, say, oh, dear Lord Jesus, please save me, and you know, be...
Yeah.
No, and no, and they calculate that whole thing. No. Well, no, and see, the, it's not...
Yeah.
No, God is, and but you know, most of them never will get that true opportunity, and most of them will never get the chance. He does, and most of them, their souls will be scalped well before they die. See, what happened? What people, what you're not told, is that when you give your allegiance over to the world, when you give yourself up to it, what happens is it's this constant wearing down of the person to open you up to demonic powers, to open you up to those, so that, and they basically replace, it's a replacement philosophy. They pull the real you out and toss something else in there. Have you ever met like people that you went to high school with? Like, I had my 10-year high school reunion like in the States a little while back, and you meet people that you went to school with, and it's like not the same person anymore.
Does it get worse? Or?
No, like it's just not there. It's
like
it's like a shell of the person. It's like it's not even the same thing anymore. There used to be this vibrant, you know, just like there used to be so much more to them, and now it's just like this, you know, faceless, nameless mass. I mean, what's happened to them? Because the world is slowly working them over. And a lot of them aren't even in possession of their own soul anymore now. They're not even, it's a shell of even who was there before. So you have to make that, now when you're walking in Christ, you are being more and more renewed into the image of Christ Jesus. So every day you resemble Him more and more. So it's like even if your body is not, it's the Spirit that's shining through. That's why people that walk in spirit too, they're very attractive people. They're very, because there's a resonance. It's the very Spirit of God that's coming off of them. And so that's why too, the world recognizes you. Because you're an untapped battery. So you're shining really bright, and they're like, whoa, hey, whoa, this is, so if they can't get you to, so they'll either try to kill you to bump themselves up, or they'll try to tap you or to get you or to whatever. So there's a game that's going on for your soul. There's a game that's going on for your mind. So you realize that that's what you're in, but also realize that in the path of spirit, that God takes you in to the death of self, that He connects you up in that process where when you die to this world, that's where Jesus will take you to when you're walking out the path with Him. When you come alive in spirit, you can also connect up with who you really are, which is outside of the reality that you face here. So you can, that's what it means to be in the world but not of it. So you are in the world, but you're not of it. You're here, and you have, but you're not. So my analogy for that is like, it's like did you ever play arcade games when you were a kid, like go to an arcade? And so the real you is outside with the controls, pushing the buttons and all that, but you have a character that's inside the screen, so you're a Ninja Turtle, or you are, you know, Narc, and, you know, these cops running around. So all the swashbuckling adventures going on around that character that's inside the screen, but the real you is not inside there. The real you doesn't have bombs going off across the head and shots being fired and all this stuff. The real you is outside. And so that's that connection point. So, but being caught up and connected with who you really are is the pursuit of spirit. Because that too is what you were made for. So, that was, it's a kind of a little bit of a heavy overview, I guess. But, make sense? So now how do you live knowing that?
Well, Why don't you take us a week to think about
exactly.
it?
Yeah.
I'm like, that wasn't enough time.
No. So we'll post this because I'm sure you have to go through this one again for a little bit. But there's a way that you live while you're here. There's a way that you function while you're in the world. I'll give you a clue. Jesus, John chapter 3, you can go back and look at that one. Jesus talked about those that are led by the Spirit and what they're like. They're like the wind. You don't know where they're going or where they're coming from. That they operate differently. They're able to, they really resemble more like the angels than they do the people in this world. So there is a progression that takes place in spirit that he puts you through as you're walking this thing out with him. So I guess this week, you know, go between this week and next, start to ask the Father to reveal to you what's really going on. So you want to see what is really there. You want to know if the apple is rotten, but all you see is this polished surface on it and it looks good. You want to know what's underneath there before you bite into it. If it's rotten to the core and there's all kinds of nasty bugs inside, it's really nice, because most people, they don't see that, and they bite into the world and then that's what they get. And you realize that, wait a second, no, if you know what you're really dealing with, and then from that place you're able to make a decision. Anybody, if they saw what the world is really about, truly, and with the full understanding of it, they would choose Christ in a second. They'd be like, okay, I see it. Jesus, save me. But most of them are deceived, so they don't realize that before they leave. This is a bit, I'm sure this is a bit heavy, but we'll hash it out a little bit over the next couple of times. But realize that you're in the world, you're not of it. And the Father has called you to be in the world but not of it while you're here. So I guess we'll just close it there. And pick it up next week. Too much, too little, too... A little bit different, though.
Difference is good. Different.
It just makes you a bit more scary.
Me?
Not you. The entire living out life.
It makes it more complicated.
Yeah, as if it wasn't complicated to begin.
But complicated, but also if you understand what's really going on. See, God kept it simple also. And the simplest thing is when you're led by the Spirit, he says, go left, you go left. Go right, you go right. Up, down, down. Whatever he says goes. So if you do work, it's wherever he would send you. If you would, whatever you will do, is where, because it's like you come to this realization where, wait a second, in and of yourself you are completely outnumbered and completely outgunned. You do not have a prayer separate from the Father. You don't have a chance. And then you realize, okay, God, okay, your way, not mine. Your path, not mine. Your truth, not mine. And then it's not just that he kind of ekes you out of it and you just sort of make it through, but his empowering, the empowering of the Holy Spirit comes upon you where you are become like in Acts chapter 1, where the disciples were empowered by the Spirit of God, where you become this amazing spiritual warrior, where as you're walking this thing out, you're just destroying all of these demonic traps and all kinds of things that are along the way. So it's like you shift from being this timid little, fodder for the steam engine to this powerful lion, that's chasing after a few scraggling hyenas. So But it's one or the other. There's not really the middle ground. So it, not to be scared, but to realize this is what's going on and this is what you're in. And then to embrace it and embrace the way the Father will work with us. Okay, stop there. There were some people that needed to be prayed for too. I know Tanya was sick.
Yeah.
I think Shani said she hurt her foot. Somebody had a... was in the hospital too.
He thought she said he's in the hospital.
No, he's out. He just got out. He's okay. He's all right now. Yay. Cool. Yeah, we'll just throw up a general one. But yeah, okay. Father God, we thank you, Lord, so much for this night. Lord, we thank you, Father, for just the blessing of life in you, Lord, and Lord, just for your Spirit, and for Lord, just the way that you are revealing things to us, Father. We just pray, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, Lord, reveal to us, Lord, all that we're in and around, Father God, and that you would speak to us, Father, and lead and guide us, Lord, out of the illusion and into truth, Father. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the fellowship that we have with each other, for the friends that we have in Christ. And Lord, right now, Lord, we pray for those that couldn't be here this night, Lord, because of just illnesses and just attacks on their family or their bodies, Lord God. We just pray right now, Father, for those that are sick, Lord, that you would heal them, Father, and heal them completely, Father. For family members, Lord, that are ill, Lord, that you would restore them, Father God, to good health. Lord, we remember right now, Lord, Natasha's dad and Patrick's mom, Lord, and in Canada. Father, we just pray, Lord God, that you would heal them, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord God. In Jesus' name, that you would heal them, Lord, and restore them, Father. Lord, right now, Lord, we know that your Spirit sees them, Father. Your Spirit loves them. And Lord, we take authority over every sickness, Lord, over every infirmity. And Father, we pray, Lord, complete healing, Lord, in all of them, Father, and everyone, Lord, that we know of right now that is suffering, Father, from some sort of ailment, Lord, we pray your healing and restoration in Jesus' name in their bodies. And Father, even as we would go into, Lord, this week, Lord God, and the remainder of this week and the start of next, Lord, we pray, Father, for the revelation of the Holy Spirit in us, Lord, that you would lead and guide us into all truth. And Father, that you would empower us, Lord, to stand strong in the truth that you do reveal to us, Lord. Raise up, Lord, your people to be warriors in Christ. Raise up your people, Father, to walk in truth, Lord, and to live, Father God, the true life that you came and gave us in Christ. So, Lord, we love you. Lord, we commit ourselves to you, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would bless and watch over us, Lord God, as we would walk out this life in you, Lord. So thank you, Father. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, your blessing over everybody that's here this night. We love each other, Father, and you. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, that your love would continue to grow in our hearts, Father. As, Lord, that perfect love drives out all fear, Lord. And Lord, that we give every concern, every care over to you, Lord, when it comes to work, when it comes to family, Lord, when it comes to the different concerns, Lord, that we may be facing just living in this life and in this world. And we pray that you would take it, Father. That you would take every family issue, that you would take every problem, Lord, every concern. And Lord, we leave it at your feet. Father, you said, be anxious about nothing, but with prayer and supplication, make our requests known to you. So Lord, we're grateful that you take it, Lord. And so we leave it with you. And Lord, we just trust you, Father. And we just pray your will be done in all and every aspect of our lives. And we just go on, Lord, trusting and knowing you. In Jesus' name.